Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not guilty. You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the Prohibition, you're the one who's guilty. I mean, come on, let's kick the ballistics here. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. I mean, not one of us in here owns a poppy field. This thing is bigger than Nino Brown. This is big business. This is the American way.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Divas, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
May 16th, folks. May 16th again. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And listen. It's also the Midweek in Review show. We have a lot to unpack for the hour. So let's just get into it. This is a musical on montage, I should say. This is Craig Mack. A little bit of hip-hop. I don't want you folks to think that I hate hip-hop. That's really the furthest from the truth. I like quality hip-hop. This is Craig Mack, Get Down, Q-Tip Remix. We'll be back in a few moments. Groove, folks. Groove.
Get on down, time to get.
Can you get down? Can you get down? Bounce. Bounce. Folks, again, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The time, 7.05 p.m. Folks, well, I'm not going to go into a big diatribe about hip-hop. It's amazing that song is about almost 20 years old. Almost 20 years. Time is flying. He even references, again, we're talking about Craig Mack. He's even referencing, what did he say in the rap? He said, I'm not scared of you MFers. I'm not scared of you. Who said that? Well, Captain beamed him yet. We'll talk more about this, folks. 646-915-9620. Again, Bernie Mac, that's what I'm thinking of. He references Bernie Mac, and it's a 20-year-old song almost. Anyway, you're needed on the bridge, Captain. Let's get into it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Can we get down? It's a good record. It's a good choice right there. Excellent.
I try. I do try. You know, we have plenty of music, Captain, new and old, new and classic, but somehow it seems to evade other media outlets. They seem to want to play the junk. So what's left over, the pearls, we will play on Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Something I wanted to mention at the top of the show, Captain. It appears that we are going to be fortunate enough to have a guest by the name of Ms. Lisa Bloom. She's an author. She is a media pundit. I think she's been on CNN. And she's also an attorney. And she is the daughter of another well-known attorney, Gloria Allred. She has a book called Swagger. Again, Swagger. Definitely pick up this book. And it unpacks the notion of machismo, of thug culture, just what is happening to young boys and men, but specifically young boys in our American culture. So once I believe I saw her on Dr. Phil's show, and I thought that what she is stating in her book is along the lines of what we try to talk about on this show. So great minds think alike. I spoke with Ms. Bloom earlier today, and she's more than happy to appear on our program next midweek in review, next Wednesday, the 23rd.
Yeah, we don't
7
like
o'clock. Yeah. Well, they couldn't hang with this kind of discourse anyway, Captain. We know what that is. But she gets into what we've been talking about. If you don't believe it from what we say, you know, our water is sometimes warmer, Captain, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
If you don't agree with what we say, she's coming in hard with a great deal of evidence, a great deal of scholarship, to basically talk about what we say. And this is greater than just it being a racial thing. It's not just the black folk. We're talking about a cultural phenomenon that's transcending race and even economics to a certain degree. But she's going to talk about this whole thug culture as a product. I've said this before. I don't think we hear it enough, but the fact that this lower tier, quote unquote, thug culture has been sold to you as product, and unfortunately, many of our young men have bought into it. Didn't we talk about last couple of weeks, this quote unquote nerd nigga? This young man, this young fool.
That's his name too. That's
you know,
his name.
I try to search out for fellow nerds and also nerds of color. I searched him out on his YouTube page, and he has a, you know, one of the, like I am D-Bird, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd. He is Uber Hikari.
Good name.
A.k.a., well, the first part of it.
Yes.
Uber Hikari, a.k.a. the Nerd Nigga.
Then he messes it up. He lost the dribble right there. Lost his handle.
I was going to reach out to this young man, but, hey, listen, is he going to listen to me? He's the Nerd Nigga. I can't call it. All right, Captain, let's just get into it. We have time constraints. Time constraints.
Discourse.
All right, going down the topics this week, or I should say this midweek, there seems to be a lot of hoopla, a lot of hullabaloo, one of my favorite words, hullabaloo, over this Newsweek magazine cover that depicts President Obama as the nation's first, quote-unquote, gay president. I think there's a double-sided thing here in the sense that Time magazine was able to get some shine from the last couple of weeks because of its provocative cover with a child that many would think would be too old to be breastfeeding. The child appeared to be maybe 4 or 5, still breastfeeding from his mother. And that caused Time received a lot of shine from that. So I think Newsweek, in trying to double down, they have President Obama being proclaimed the first gay president. We'll talk about that. Medical records have come out stating that George Zimmerman, from his family physician, that many of the injuries that he claimed during the Trayvon Martin shooting incident, his doctor confirms them. So what does that mean for the growing movement against him, so to speak? What does that mean? What does it mean to the Trayvon Martin case and the movement that is attached to it? So we'll talk about this new medical evidence. Also, Facebook, popular social networking site, probably the social networking site, they're about to go public. And there's been a range of values with this company, potential values anywhere from $16 billion to $100 billion. If that's the case, it would probably be the most highly valued American company to date. If it amasses $100 billion. I mean, Captain, last time I checked, doesn't Exxon still make oil?
Yes.
You know? Aren't they in the oil-producing business?
Yes.
And a web page is worth $100 billion. You know, well, I can't call it. And lastly, I've gotten a number of emails about this controversial piece. I first heard about it from the New York Post, and they are stating, I guess it's actually coming from a book. I think the book is entitled Amateur, and it's a direct reference to President Obama. But in the book, there's a whole deal about there being a cooling of the friendship between our First Lady, Michelle Obama, and the First Lady of Media, Oprah Winfrey, that these two are not getting along in a big way. And as you know, as our listening audience knows, back in 2008, Oprah Winfrey was highly, highly influential in President Obama and then Senator Obama gaining the nomination and ultimately becoming the President of the United States. A lot of it rests on the shoulder of Oprah Winfrey vouching for him. So now we're hearing that there seems to be somewhat of a cooling of their friendship. So we'll try to get to that. All right, first up, unfortunately, Captain, I do not have any clips, any audio clips, so we're going to have to fly without a net. Not a big deal. But I want to talk about this Newsweek article. Now, the last show, we spoke about this historic proclamation or historic admission on the part of President Obama that his opinion of same-sex marriages has evolved. You know, during the campaign and even thereafter, he essentially was someone that was in favor of civil unions. I mean, that seems to be the safe meme that many presidential candidates have taken. In other words, it's a way to come toward the gay issue, but not fully go over there. In other words, yes, we believe in having equal access to gay folk, but we just have an issue with the term marriage. So many politicians, as I suspect, who would want to play it safe, they will go and say, well, we believe in civil unions, but we have to stop short of marriage, because marriage as it has been historically and biblically defined and legally defined has been between a man and a woman, of those of the opposite gender getting together. Now he said, you know what? I've evolved on it. I've spoken to my children. I don't know if Vice President Biden had anything to do with it. I'll talk about that in a moment. The king of the gaff. He might have had something to do with it, but okay. President Obama doesn't really mention him too much. He's in favor of same-sex marriages. The bottom breaks loose. Some folks are upset. North Carolina goes into shutdown mode. People are just taking sides. Some black folk that were highly supportive of the president, especially those who are more on the religious side, more God-fearing black folk, are saying on this issue. Well, actually, they're making it into an issue, into a singular issue that may prevent them from voting for him or voting at all. However, obviously, he's gained a great deal of support from those who are supportive of same-sex marriages. Anyway, Newsweek comes out and proclaims him the nation's first quote-unquote gay president. Captain, what are your thoughts? What are we looking at here?
Well, I appreciate your cogent, precise precision, the way you essentially broke it down. But I'm not going to be so nice. You understand? I'm not going to be so nice. Newsweek is full of fecal matter. In case you don't understand what fecal matter is, next time you go to the toilet and you sit down, if you're a man, okay? Women sit down also. But if you're a man and you sit down and you look before you flush, that's what fecal matter is, okay? They have him on the cover there, you know, with his look, you know, his face looking clean. Then they have the rainbow halo, okay, which symbolized, that's the, you know, the gay symbol. And they're saying the gay president. He never said he was gay. And I understand that magazines are not selling due to the internet and everything else. So you have to resort to tabloid type of play. Let me just throw this cover out there for shock value. And then when they get into the article, they can see that we didn't mean this, we didn't mean that. But it made people go ahead and go buy it. This was only done for shock value, because magazines at this given time are not selling like how they used to. You could just log on the internet and just see what's going on. There's no real reason a lot of times to go buy a magazine. So I got to come out with a very provocative type of cover to stun the masses, to affect you one way or the other. Either you're pro for it or you're against it. Either way, you felt affected. Either way, you were talking about it at work. You were talking about it at dinner with the family. What's going on? He never said that. He just felt that, you know, gay people should have rights also. Why couldn't they put something up like that? Because they felt in the boardroom when they make these decisions that something like that would not essentially sell. That's all what it comes down to. So they resort to the tabloid okey-doke. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, not that I don't agree with you, because what you said is quite succinct. But I will say this much. I think there's more going on with this if you look below the surface. With President Clinton, was known as the first black president, or the black president, before we had an actual black president. And a lot of that had to do with the veneer, his veneer of having comfort with people of color. He gave off that veneer. He didn't seem to be uncomfortable around minorities, especially black folk. So, and also because of what had really kicked in was when he was getting into trouble with Monica Lewinsky, and it just seemed as if the world was against him. That thing. And then there was the cool factor, too. When he appeared on the Arsenio Hall show playing the sax with the Shades, I think he admitted to marijuana smoking, or somewhat admitted to it. I mean, now it would be laughable. It would be laughable. Somehow he got away with it, but he didn't inhale, that kind of stuff. It is crazy stuff. It shows you how you really can't tell the truth. You have to box yourself in. Now we're getting closer to where people are going to have to admit some things and just have to take the hit. Anyway, no one looked askance at President Clinton being referred to as black. And I think what is happening is that with Obama being called the gay president, it's not that he's actually gay, obviously, but it has more to do with if you are positive toward a certain group, then therefore you're in. You're part of that group. We were comfortable, to be tribal now, we were comfortable with President Clinton, especially a lot of black folks to this day. I mean, even to the point where his headquarters is in Harlem. Even when that went over, the reality of that situation was he tried to get space downtown and even midtown, and he was rejected. So when a space opened up in Harlem, folks were saying, oh, of course. Why wouldn't the black president, you know, why wouldn't he set up shop in the black cultural capital of the world, Harlem? So everything started to point to that, and he gained a lot of props, for the lack of a better word, keeping it colloquial. He gained a lot of props for doing that. So there's a little bit of that in this Newsweek article, or rather this Newsweek cover. But, you know, let's face it, being black and being gay, two different things. However, there's always been this initiative to try to make them, you know, the struggles very similar. Sometimes I think there are similarities in the struggle, but, you know, a gay person, if you're a gay white person, gay white people have been able to hide their proclivities for centuries. There's no hiding the melanin. And even those who have passed, quote-unquote passed, if you were found out, that's the end of you. Or if your darker family members showed up somehow, you could lose your house, you could lose your business, you could lose your life. But with the gay thing, there's always been that option, you know, remaining in the closet. Very hard to be a closeted black person. Very difficult. Although that now that I think about it, you've had closeted black people because of the passing thing. But the normal meme has been what it is. So I get what Newsweek is trying to do. I think it's more about trying to play up on what Kathy just talked about. I think it's more about trying to get people to buy the magazine. When folks are downloading, they're looking at the Huffington Post, they're looking at the Daily Beast, they're looking at the Raw Story, they're looking at AfroNerd.com. I'm just saying. People are getting their news from different ways, so they have to be provocative. They have to appeal to your prurient interests. So it is what it is. I guess, you know, it doesn't mean anything to President Obama. I don't know. Should I call it disrespectful, Captain, in some way? I don't know what to think, because there's been this initiative to normalize this. You know, no one really looked at President Clinton being called black as, not really, unless it was behind closed doors. No one ever looked at it as being disrespectful. Wasn't perceived as disrespectful, you know? So, I mean, before we go to a musical break, do you think there's a little bit of disrespect on that? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think again, you know, it's all part of, you know,
part of the
selling.
Game.
Yeah. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah, you know, let me just shout out Q-Storm. I see Sergio is in effect as well as Stanley Kubrick from the U.K. Q-Storm brings up a good point. I forgot to mention this. Andrew Sullivan. Who is he with? Is he with the Daily Beast? I think he's with, I forgot, he's with a pretty popular blog. He's a pretty popular blogger, media pundit. And actually, I believe he is a conservative, but he is openly gay. Sergio's correcting me. Yeah, it is the Daily Beast. He's with the Daily Beast. He's a pretty interesting guy in the sense that he models himself as a conservative, but maybe because of the gay thing, he comes off very very moderate. Very moderate. So he's pushing this thing too. He's so happy that this president came out with approving or supporting gay marriage. So now he has to go and call the man, you know. You can support gay folks and not be gay. Whatever. I don't know. It's that initiative to normalize the behavior. I don't know what to call it, Captain. I'm not really sure. And also, Q points out that I've also noticed that Real Time, he's on Real Time with Bill Maher. He's a frequent guest on there. And he does, I like the way that he speaks. I think he's pretty pretty fair on many issues. And speaking as a conservative myself, you know, there's this thing where, you know, you're expected to be so right-wing. And there is a gradation, or there is a scale when it comes to political bent. Not everyone is going to be a teabagger or a – oh, there's a lot of jokes in that, Captain. I don't leave that alone. No,
leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. Politically correct, baby. But, you know, you're expected to be so far to the right if you call yourself a conservative. And I guess that would say the same thing for someone who is on the left, that you're supposed to be a, you know, someone who's rabidly leftist. You know, so that's not really the case. Captain, let's go to a quick musical break. Time is flying. We only have an hour. After this broadcast, I'm going to have to sweat it out and go to the gym. Force myself to get into super soldier mode for the summer, as you know. It's going to go down. So I have to do what I have to do. All right. Let's see. So much music. So little time. All right. Let's keep it simple. This is The Girl from Ipanema, a classic, a cover by the late Amy Winehouse. We'll be back in a few moments. Hold on. I always liked that song. I have to admit, that's an early 60s song. I believe it was covered by Perry Ribeiro in the early 60s, and then Stan Getz had his cover on this thing. It was very international hit. I mean, if you looked at any early 60s movie, that song was always in the background somewhere. The Girl from Ipanema was a big, big, big hit. So that was the late, great Amy Winehouse doing her cover of it. You start to realize that when these folks, the good ones, especially in this climate with all this music that's so below standard, the good ones just can't seem to stay around for too long. So it's unfortunate that she had so many problems. Again, folks, you're listening to After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We're at the midway point already. Time is just bustling by. Let's get into the next topic. I want to talk about George Zimmerman. And I'm trying to keep this brief because we spoke about this case to death. It's ongoing, obviously, the Trayvon Martin tragedy, the Trayvon Martin shooting, the Trayvon Martin just debacle. And, you know, I said this a long time ago, Captain, that, you know, if we're to assume that we're being perceived, and I'm saying we as black folk, being perceived in true tribal fashion, if that is the case, it will be nice, it would be sophisticated, it would be something different if we made some room. Hear me out, folks. If we made some room for the possibility that some of what Mr. Zimmerman stated early on as to what transpired might in actuality have some truth to it. We were so caught up in the media molding this case. And I don't think enough time is ever committed to actually getting into what the media are about when they submit an issue, submit a controversy, submit news to your attention. Early on, maybe because my third eye is always open, Captain, I started questioning some things that if the case is what it is, if it's a straight-up case, why do we see a 3 or 4 or 5 year old dated photograph of both participants in this tragedy? We see an obese, younger Zimmerman. We see a younger preteen Martin. And then, you know, to me, I would want to know, what did these guys see in each other? What did they look like to each other at the time of the incident? We see Martin not quite as billboard ready when you saw his Facebook page. Same thing goes for Zimmerman. Zimmerman said early on he had some injuries. Now he has a family physician that many are looking at in a conspiratorial way, that the following day there's a medical report to back up from his physician. Unless his physician, Captain, is willing to jeopardize his medical license, maybe he is. Because this has to be scrutinized when we get into legal issues. This has to be scrutinized by the prosecution, that report. So conspiratorial or not, it appears that this man had a broken nose. They said it was a closed fracture. He had lacerations. When we saw footage of Mr. Zimmerman in the police station on the night of the incident, at first glance, many folks are like, you see, he wasn't hurt. But then when you get the camera tightens, you see a big gash, a big laceration on the back of his head. I just feel Mr. Zimmerman is due a fair day in court. Trayvon Martin is also due justice. I think there's definitely some recklessness on the part of Zimmerman. But nobody was there to know exactly what happened. And I just feel that constantly on the part of many, not all, but many black folk that have a hand in this, they're just disregarding evidence that they're not comfortable with. They're not comfortable with the fact that this man might be might be honest about what he said transpired. He might be. Don't we have to make some room for that possibility? That's all I'm saying. Captain, what are your thoughts on these new charges that have come up, this new medical information that seems to substantiate what Zimmerman has said all along?
Well, I have to play devil's advocate, and I have to play the rebuttal just to add a little balance to the situation. I always said, or should I say, I said before on this show, the truth and the lie were in the pond bathing. Okay? The truth and the lie were in the pond bathing. The lie jumped out, and the truth was still in the water. The lie put on the truth's clothes and started running away. The truth has been chasing the lie ever since, hence the term the naked truth. Okay? The naked truth has been chasing the lie. Now, in order to lie and make it pass, it has to be based on 95% truth. Okay? Otherwise, it will not pass your defense mechanism. Always remember that. So a lie, when it's good, is always based on truth. It only has a little bit of something altered. That's all that has to happen. So the point I'm making is, with this whole case, whether this, that, of course, Mr. Zimmerman, there's going to be a lot of truth to what he says. But that's not what we're looking for. It's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the little things that don't match up, if there is any. And regardless, I'm just giving you my opinion now. Regardless of that, we'll probably never know who threw the first punch, who started what. The only thing we do know is that Mr. Trayvon, young Trayvon, is no longer here. That is a fact. That's it. And that's the only thing we do know. Everything else, whether they want to talk about it, he has two black eyes, he has a broken nose. Yes, we know an altercation took place. We'll never know whether or not, I don't think so, who threw the first punch. They're going to only make an assumption on that. That's what I think. Because if you knew already who made the first punch, it might be a little bit different. Maybe just a little bit different. I think people would still be mad, but still be, because the boy lost his life. But it'd be a little bit different. You have to perceive it a little differently. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, I brought this up before, Captain, that, you know, there's always been this initiative or this belief that, and maybe rightfully so, that some of the criminality that has occurred and continues to occur in black and brown communities, minority communities, you know, there's always been this thing about, well, you folks need to protect yourselves. You need to patrol yourselves. You know, if things were supposed to be how folks position the argument, there should be a lot of black George Zimmermans in our inner city communities to offset some of the nonsense that you and I talk about pretty frequently. What does that mean? I mean, is this the kind of thing that's going to prevent the need to patrol our communities? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you may run into, if you take race out of it, you may run into a knucklehead that might react to you in a violent way if you just question him or if you're just checking things out. That's the problem I have. Again, to the audience, I want them to understand that this young man should not have lost his life. He was unarmed, but I'm also uncomfortable. Maybe I think too much, but I'm uncomfortable with this picture that the media created that may not be accurate. When you're talking about these kind of matters, there needs to be a great deal of accuracy. With the movement that's attached to the Trayvon Martin tragedy, with the movement that is attached to it, it is necessary for Mr. Zimmerman to be Caucasian. It is necessary. And that's what's problematic for me. I can go down the line of things that must be a certain way in order for the math to work. And I don't like that. When you see this young man, hell, he looks like many of the partners that you and I run around with. Brown men, minority men, Let's be absolutely honest. He does not look like Billy Joe Bob with the pickup truck with the Confederate flag on the hood. So when I see these T-shirts, these vulgar T-shirts, to be honest with you, because, you know, the movement, who cares about accuracy? It's more about that locomotion, that locomotive just continuing. When you see these T-shirts that say, you know, punk, pardon my French folks, but punk-ass cracker, or even worse maybe worse than that, I think, and you see a picture of Zimmerman, that's not what he's supposed to look like. You know, you can't put some brown man there and say P.S. cracker, which is a derogatory term for a white person. It doesn't work. The math doesn't work. But in order for this to play out the way you want it to play out, he must be white. If it's brown versus black, you're dealing with two disparate racial groups that have equally been profiled. It doesn't work, does it? Why can't we be honest about who Zimmerman is? Heck, there's even talk that Zimmerman might have some black lineage. Now, folks don't want to hear that either. I mean, they're willing to call out all stops. But there's some photograph of some grandfather or some great-grandfather that appears to be of African extraction. The brown hue comes from somewhere, Captain. It comes from somewhere. See, the whole thing, it comes off a little silly. It just comes off a little silly. Get away from the race. Get into what happened. And, you know, just handle the facts. Handle the facts as they appear. Don't just ignore factual data because it makes you uncomfortable. Taking what Mr. Starks used to always say, the unattractive truth. The truth is frequently unattractive. If your doctor, and consider us your radio physicians, if your doctor tells you that you have cancer, you're not going to necessarily like your doctor at that moment. But you're happy that he told you the truth. And we're telling you the truth. And I wish the media would tell you the truth. Tell the truth, tell the facts, and then see what happens. But when you're getting, you know, twisted facts, you're getting doctored photographs, Trayvon is lightened. His nose is made smaller. He's younger. I mean, what's wrong with giving us the accurate picture of what happened on the night that he met his demise? There's a problem. I'm telling you, Captain, something is not right in Denmark, or in Sanford, in this case, Sanford, Florida. I'm just saying, you got to be prepared for the truth. Captain, we got about 16 minutes. Do you think we can take yet another musical break? And
absolutely.
I think, what's next up on the agenda? You know what? I do want to talk about Facebook, but actually, I think I want to talk about Michelle Obama. The battle of the O's, Obama versus Oprah. Something is, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about these two. What can I say? All right. Next up, new song, Lost on Repeat. Lost on Repeat, Lyric Jones and Esmeralda Spalding. We'll be back. Let's groove.
There's no melody that works in every life. We all miss a beat, but never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat, but never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
11:30 in the AM, got slum beat bumping. Didn't eat nothing, so I threw together something. Popping my favorite Spike Lee joint. Do the right thing, cause lately was the case in point. Racism, check. Minimum wage, check. In the hood, being misunderstood by just trying to do good. Trying to get in where I fit in,
whatever that means.
In this male dominated rap scene, was just not happening. Of course, not the way I want it to go. Be undeniable or not, as rewriting my rhymes to groom the flow. Feel like I had the world on my shoulders. And hip hop, man, it's like in dog years. I get older and bolder, but yet still I'm an infant. Repeating to myself,
I'll blow up in an instant.
But like a puzzle piece, I have a set place. So I move at my set pace, and it's hard with my game face. Yeah.
There's no melody that works in every life. We all miss a beat.
Sometimes we do.
But never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat.
Yeah, we do.
We'll never lose tempo while the songs are coming.
Friends and fam come and go more like a frequent bus. For reasons why I weigh it heavy when folks say
I love you.
Wish I can keep the good times on repeat.
Syndication.
Get a sneak peek of what I go through weekly in the station. I guess in life I'm trying to cheat. Know what the future holds. Protect my future goals. Go to God to get my future told. Now I know I can't compare most to me. They're like a melody that doesn't work in my key, certainly. Sometimes a sharp nine is not available. Like attention misplaced in the song, I'm comparable. Makes my whole situation a parable. Teach the world what goes wrong, not always terrible. Lessons before dying on a daily. Seems like fate's fraternity's trying to haze me. But yet it doesn't faze me. Cause it's the northern streets that raise me, my defeats that save me.
There's no melody that works.
Yeah.
We all miss a beat.
Right.
But
true.
Never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
Yeah.
There's no melody.
Same.
That works in every key. We all miss a beat.
Sometimes we do.
But never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat. But never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
You never lose it.
There's no melody.
Yeah.
That works in every key. There's no loving in.
Really? What was that?
They never lose tempo while the song's lost on the key.
Esperanza, Lyric Jones.
Okay, we're back. Did I mispronounce her name? Esperanza. Sorry about that. Lyric Jones.
Working.
Yeah, well, it's good and you won't hear it, except for here. That's the issue. That's the issue, Captain. Again, folks, you're listening to Afternerd Radio, a.k.a. Afternerd, featuring Captain Kirk. We've got about 12 minutes remaining for the broadcast. The call-in number, if you'd like to join in, the water is warm, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I want to talk about this cooling of a friendship, allegedly, between the First Lady, our First Lady, Michelle Obama, and the First Lady of the media, Oprah Winfrey. And for those who... I would think we're living under a rock. It would be hard not to know that Ms. Winfrey's influence was instrumental in then-Senator Obama becoming our first African-American president. She's, at the time especially, was extremely well-liked in the media, if not the face of the media. I mean, Oprah Winfrey... I mean, she has her own struggling network now. But before that, the Oprah Winfrey Show and her being able to become one of the wealthiest women, not just black women, but wealthiest women in the world and in this country, has a lot to do with her persona. She can do no wrong. So if Oprah can vouch for you, if Oprah vouches for you, that plays a large role as to what you could end up being. You could end up becoming the president of the United States. And that's exactly what happened. So because of that, we're hearing now that the relationship to date is not so cheery and not so warm as we would be led to believe. There's a new book called Amateur that I believe the New York Post actually highlighted. The book is, I should say, actually called The Amateur by Edward Klein. And, you know, obviously The Amateur is meant to be somewhat of a dig at Barack Obama in the White House because, you know, he wasn't really a senator that long. He's a newbie. He was a freshman senator at that, and that he quickly became the president of the United States. So part of the book unpacks this notion that Oprah and Michelle Obama did not get along. It goes into Oprah having at one time unprecedented access to the White House. And that at some point it caused some degree, and this is all conjecture, actually. It's, in my belief, it's conjecture and hearsay. But at some point there was some bounds that were overstepped, and it caused Mrs. Obama to pull in the reins to the point where at one time Ms. Winfrey had direct access and now she was getting middlemen to field her calls. So, you know, part of me feels as if this really cannot be verified. I have a problem when you have these books that come out and they talk about conversations, they talk about things that happened, and, you know, listen, nowadays we're so observed. We have so much listening equipment, video equipment, but without those things, and you're just saying this happened with so much accuracy, I get a little leery that you have these books that are able to denote word for word what happened, as if it's gospel. That makes me nervous. Do we really know this happened, or is this just a book that's meant to sell copies based on conjecture? Any thoughts, Captain?
Just to piggyback on what you said, speculation, conjecture, and assumption in order to sell books. Also, there was another thing said along inside of this book, that Obama is not really making decisions, that Oprah and his wife are the ones making decisions.
Yeah, I can believe that.
You know, that's another thing. But that's speculation, that's conjecture, that's assumption. You know, just throw it all in there. Where are your facts? Where's your facts? You know, just throw it all in there. And it makes for good, you know, dinner talk. That's what I think at the end of the day. That's all it is. It's all it is. You know, it sells books. Maybe. Maybe. Time will tell. But, you know. So, back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, again, folks, this was in a recent New York Post article, and I'm looking at something from the Independent Journal. And they go into this as well, dovetailing off of the New York Post article. I'm just going to read something briefly. It says, this new book, The Amateur, by Edward Klein, a New York Times bestselling author and a former editor-in-chief of the New York Times Magazine, has been quite the rage lately. It claims that Bill Clinton called Obama an amateur that wasn't fit to be president, and that Obama's campaign offered his former pastor $150,000 to stay quiet during the campaign have created a buzz that is unlikely to die down. Now, one more claim has come out in an excerpt published by the New York Post. Well, you know what? Those two parts right there, I think, seem to be a bit more valid. But even then, I can't say. I remember when Jeremiah Wright was really going off. It appeared that someone probably did need to pay him some money to shut up. That might be just common sense. And Bill Clinton, I don't know if he used the term amateur, but I know he said that this guy talking about President Obama or Senator Obama, he will be getting us coffee. You know, that's coming from your quote-unquote first black president, Bill Clinton. That has been more or less verified. Okay, anyway, apparently Oprah and Michelle Obama did not see eye to eye. At first, Oprah seemed to have a lot of influence over Obama. Klein wrote, of all of Obama's unofficial White House advisors, Oprah had unparalleled access, input, influence, and power. But Oprah quickly became annoyed after being passed off to lower-level staff members. According to a high-ranking executive of Harpo Studios, Oprah isn't a snob, but she doesn't like having to put up with mid-level clerks. These guys were $75,000 a year men. Oprah was like, hello, what is this S? Klein then claims Valerie Jarrett, a senior advisor to the president and assistant of the president for public engagement and intergovernmental affairs, became annoyed with the level of access Oprah had to Obama. I'm going to read this quick thing, then we're going to go to the next thing. Became another one. And so Valerie set about turning Michelle against Oprah. Now, how do we know that? Okay, Oprah was too close to the president. Oprah was acting like she was the first lady. Oprah didn't know her place. Oprah was a bad influence. Valerie advised Michelle to distance herself from Oprah and cut her out of the White House inner circle. You know, this sounds
Alice in Wonderland. Great story.
right there, you know it's hearsay. She spoke to someone. He spoke to someone from Ms. Winfrey's staff. That's clearly hearsay. This wouldn't hold up before a court of law. You know, it holds up. Maybe, you know, it holds up for the court of public opinion because, just as I said with the Trayvon Martin case, image plays a lot in this. We cannot take sophisticated discourse in this country. We can't. We can only take simple themes, and then we react. It's very visceral how we react to certain things. We can't get into sophisticated thoughts, sophisticated ideas. Those things, you know, it gets lost on many people. So we have to keep it simple. He said, she said. We seem to get into that. I mean, this is the media takeout of the world. This is a media takeout type of thing, or a gossip kind of thing, isn't it, Captain?
Absolutely. Perfectly. We shout out to Sergio Mims. Gossip. Media takeout. Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that one.
You know?
The lower tiers.
Yeah, well, you know, isn't there a clip that I always play? You know? Isn't there a clip that I always play? I'm not going to play it right now, but pretty size of things pretty much up. Folks, mm-hmm. Listen, we only have about 3 minutes remaining. I did want to talk about the Facebook IPO. Maybe we can spare a minute to this thing, but the valuation on this company, again, we're talking about 28, you just had a birthday, 28-year-old Mark Zuckerberg. His company may be valued anywhere between $16 billion and $100 billion. And last I checked, you have companies that actually make hard products, brick and mortar companies, and a Facebook website page. What were we talking about behind the scenes? But what did you say briefly about this thing, Captain?
Scam. What are they selling? They're selling us. That's it. It's suspended in internet space. It's just a website, with different factions to the website. There's nothing there. But wherever there is attention, there's going to be money. And there's a lot of people that are logged on. So what actually that they're selling is just the people. That's it. Nothing more. And the people are actually worth more than anything in the world, because without people, you can't do anything. Without people, you do not have the system running. That's the president right now. So that's what it is.
We'll probably have to revisit this on Sunday show. Again, folks, also check out BlackHorrorInc.com, BlackHorrorInc.com. Check out our Facebooks, the Black Horror. Please like. We want you to like it anyway, but like the Black Horror Facebook as well as the Afro Nerd Radio Facebook. Both operations are on Twitter. Check us out on Twitter. And we will revisit this. But as the captain just noted, this is a – well, it's simple, isn't it? Did I just talk about how it appears we can only accept the simple? This is Facebook on its surface is a very simple thing. And it's literally selling you a mirror. It's an online mirror so you can look at yourself. And it's worth $100 billion enterprise. It's crazy. Why are people still bouncing basketballs and getting sweaty? Get a web page going. Why are you getting sweaty for? Get a web page. All right, Captain.
That was good.
We have to close
the
shop. We'll get into this on Sunday. Let's get into Most Def and Blackjack Johnson live. See you all on Sunday. Thanks again.
You won't say a lick off to it. Rewind. Come on, my selector. Follow me like Diallo. Shout super.
to catch a glimpse. Embrace the base of my dome, ain't finger tips. Took the king, take a list. Caught a rash of my lips. Now I tap this like this. Long range to the baseline. Move like an apparition. Go to the ground with ammunition. Move from the gate. What a shoot on your tape. What a mood on your plate. Many crews to relate. Who's choosing your fight? Yo, who was a fucking high? Invisible man, got the whole world watching. High notes, he's pressed all over your neck. Get big props when the same goes. You can even get paid in your shot. When your product is stopped, fail with the first flop. When your composition drops in the phone rules. Chill for a minute, let's see who else has set the show spot. You got yourself out. Industry is still gonna build cell block. A long way from the shell block. And a build the hell block.